I deeply appreciate your listening today to the program Sermon and Song, and I hope that if you can feel inclined to do so, that you will tell somebody else about this ministry, that we might spread the truth of the Word of God just as far as we possibly can in these last days. At the moment, we are preaching from 1 Peter. We're in chapter 2 and down to verse 9. If you would like to follow us in the Scriptures, I think you would enjoy the program more. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. We spent a great deal of time with the verses 5, 6, and 7, and on into this matter of Jesus becoming the judge of those who disobeyed the truth of the Word of God. And I emphasized in those verses that he was talking to the born-again children of God. We're living in a day when Christians, so-called, seem to have the idea that they can get by with just about anything that they choose to do, and they will never have to meet it. But the Bible is very clear that you will meet your sins. You will meet your lack of doing what God has commanded you to do as a child of God. And we've been dealing somewhat with that. Now let's move into verse 9 without any more review. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, we've already discussed that we are individual priests. He says in verse 5, ye are an holy priesthood. Now, here in verse 9, he says we are a royal priesthood. Now, that means that the members of the body of Christ, those that have been saved since the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who were saved, of course, whenever he was crucified, his disciples and those who on the day of Pentecost received him, and the beginning of the church age started, I believe, at that time. Since then, every born again child of God. Well, let me say it in another light. Since Jesus went back to heaven, and he said, I'm going to send you another comforter, and he will dwell with you forever. That's the Holy Spirit. So since the Holy Spirit moved into to permanently dwell the body of the born-again believer, we have become not only a chosen generation. You see, Israel was a chosen people. Israel was a chosen nation, and they were to obey God, and each family was to obey God. The father in that family was to be the priest of that family. You'll find that before the time of Moses and before the giving of the law. The father was the priest in the family. But Israel miserably failed, and then God gave the law, and in the law, God set up a priesthood through Aaron, down through the tribe of the Levites, to be priest and to offer sacrifices and do the other things that priests do, and we'll name those for you as we go along. Now, in the church age that you and I live, we are the priest. The very things that the priest did in the Old Testament, then we have a requirement to do in the church age in which we live. So not only then are we a holy priesthood, we are a royal priesthood, and we are a chosen people, chosen generation. The Lord has chosen to set up his church, and we who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our God, as our Lord, and we trust him, believe upon him, accept him, repenting of our sins, then we become a part of this body of Christ. And in this body, every believer is a priest. Now, that means that the pastor is not the priest, the bishop is not the priest, and no man should be called a priest above other men in any group or denomination or church or what have you. We have every born-again child of God a priest, and we are part of the royal priesthood and holy nation. Now, we are called a nation, a holy nation. You see, God is dealing quite differently with the church than he did with Israel. in the time of Israel, he had leaders and under Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and they led the people, and the father was the head of the household. Then we come to the church age, and the priest was the one who made the sacrifices, and he had to be a member of the tribe of Levi. Now we are a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, peculiar simply means different. That does not mean that we're act funny. That does not mean that we are to make ourselves particularly different from others by an outward show. If we want to be different, we should be different on the inside. We should be different in our life, not necessarily different by the type of garment that we wear. You see, the priest wore a special garment, but we do not wear a special garment, but we still are a member of this peculiar, this different people. Different in the sense that we now are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Constantly, on and on, not just come and go as he did in the Old Testament, but living within us in our bodies, and our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. And why? Why has God done all of this? Why are we set up like this in the church age? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so, as a part of this ministry of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, we should be a people who are praising God for bringing us out of darkness and putting us into the light, marvelous light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be proud of ourselves. There's no goodness in us. There's nothing about us that deserves any of this. This is all purely by grace. But aren't these wonderful possessions for a born-again child of have? Are we not in a peculiar, certainly, position today, being priests of God? And as we go along through some of these verses in 1 Peter, we'll find more and more about our duties as a priest in the household of God. Now, I've gone at length to tell you that each individual Christian is a priest before God, and therefore he is required to do a certain number of things, and we'll name some of those for you on the program tomorrow. In the meantime, tell someone else about the ministry of sermon and song.